Blog Talk Radio.
A return to excellence. A return to tradition. It's the 2018 Coach Perry Podcast. The Dial, the Tinder, Red Dragon.
Welcome back to another. Welcome back to another edition of the 2018 Coach Perry Podcast. I'm your show host, Beaumar Chant, and our guest every week is Coach Perry, and this is powered by Charles Auto Family, located in Garrettsville, Ohio, bringing you pre-owned and new vehicles. As always, we appreciate it if you are looking to get yourself situated in a new car, that you make your way out there, say hi to Mr. Mignon, he'll hook you up and get you situated so you can drive away in a new vehicle. Coach Perry, congratulations. Win number 2 on the season. You guys have already equaled last year's total. You guys got 2 games left. Maybe send these seniors out again on a high note. And that's what all the players have suggested, and I'm sure you have. But again, congratulations on the big win against the Howland rival.
Yeah, thanks, Bo. I guess the big word there is Howland. I mean, that's a big one, certainly for our kids. And one of the things is after the game, a lot of people reaching out to you and excited that you get the win over Howland. So that's always a big thing, probably the biggest game on our schedule as far as a rival is concerned. And, it obviously was a fun night for us.
I'm going through this, and it maybe could have been a part maybe throughout the year, but you mentioned people, calling, emailing, however they wanted to get a hold of you about the Howland game. You probably see the people down here, the people at the stadium, the people that you kind of know. But, I mean, has anyone ever taken you from afar where you're like, wow, I didn't know you even know you cared about the program, and they maybe gave you a shout-out?
Yeah, actually, I don't want to say quite often, but at different times throughout this whole process, going back even to some of the, we try to do some things to promote the program, which I'm sure a lot of people know. We made some videos in the off season, and then, we tried to chronicle our time there in Camp Ravenna, and, as those things come on, just people being, people that, really care about Niles football, whether they were in the program or had loved ones involved and so forth, just reaching out, hey coach, saw what you guys are doing, keep up the good work, that kind of thing. So pretty quiet when you're losing, but in those moments, and it's nice, and it does make you feel the honor of being part of the program here at Niles. I don't think that's the same everywhere. So geographically, I could tell you, I know our podcast goes all the way out into the plains, and I know Coach Shaw, who's still living down in Texas, he still follows the program closely. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of that going on from time to time.
Now, I wasn't sure if we'd even be able to do this podcast because there was a delay during the game. What was going on with that play after Kyle Lundgren intercepted it, fumbled it, and they kind of moved you back, and then we took a brief hiatus, and I actually drove back to Niles, and I dropped my daughter off in Boardman. I drove back, and I still had 5 minutes to wait. Kind of take us through that play and what was going on.
Yeah, so, one of the things that will happen in football, and a lot of times these are around the kicking plays, like you can't think up some certain scenarios, and, rules have to be in place in a certain sequence so that they can be enforced, and what had happened was we had intercepted the ball, so now we
had possession.
We have possession of the ball. They committed a personal foul. So at that point in time, no matter what happens, their personal foul will be enforced at the end of our run. Now, the kicker into this whole thing was the end of our run happened to be a turnover. But think of it, you would never give the team the other ball and then enforce the thing. So I think when you had the original turnover, then another turnover, it really got confusing for everybody, including the officials and myself included. And I was an official last year. So the officials explained to us that we were going to get the ball, back where we intercepted it. And that really didn't make any sense to me. The only thing I kept thinking in my head was, well, we're getting the ball, so I probably should keep my mouth shut. And then the more thought goes on there, and I actually had some help on this. We'll leave that out to a anonymous source. We had a deep throat that helped me with this. Rule says no, you know, that's your ball where you guys fumbled it plus the 15 yards. So, you know, I brought it to the official on our sideline. I think by the way I phrased it to him, it jogged his. I think you're right. They got together, and it did take a little while. I think it got a little bit exaggerated with the time by all of us, but it took them about 4 or 5 minutes to get together on that, and I've been able to confirm, and I think some other people confirmed, they actually did get it right. So yeah. The moral of the story is, if you know the other team committed a personal foul, it doesn't matter what happens after that, you're going to get to keep the ball. So that's just one I'll put in our archives, and if it ever happens again, I'll be able to make the argument.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was like, as a fan standing on the sidelines, you see us almost at the 50, you know, and then we moved up, and then we kept getting closer. And obviously, if you're rooting for the Niles McKinley Red Dragons, you're like, well, this is great. Might as well put them on the goal line if we can keep moving that flag. Once again, you're listening to the 2018 Coach Perry Podcast, powered by Charles Otto Family. Primanti Brothers also dips in and helps with the Primanti's Hardest Working Sandwich. They give it to the Hardest Working Red Dragon. And as always, you can find these shows on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. They're free and available, and then we post them on social media so you can listen to them at your leisure. So last week, I mean, you said you had a good week of practice. Pretty happy with the way these kids performed? I mean, I know nothing's ever perfect, but I'll just talk a little bit about the Tigers before we move on to Jefferson.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is, and again, you don't have to have a degree in football to understand this, but if you look at how we performed on third and fourth down in this game compared to some of the others, there's been times where I thought we've played some patches of great defense. The East game pops into my head, which is, you know, great on first down, great on second down, third and 11, they gained 12. You know, third and 18, they gained 19. We were able to get off the field, particularly in the red zone. I think we held them, maybe they were inside our 10 twice, and held them to 0 points. So, you know, I think that was probably the biggest difference in the game. And then, of course, on the other side of the ball, being able to, we had a fourth and one early in the game where we ran the quarterback draw and got a touchdown there, and, you know, other times, crucial times where I thought, oh, we might have to punt here or whatever, we were able to convert. And then the other big thing is we held field position battle for most of the night. Chase Sodzina had that kickoff. I don't know how he did it. If we could patent that, where you spin the ball backwards at the 1 yard line and it sticks. But, you know, that set that tone for that whole first quarter. We kept them down there at their end, even though we had turned it over once. You know, we kept them pinned in, and then that got the ball rolling the right way.
Yeah, if he could master that, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban would be howling for him to sign a letter of intent if he can master that play. It was pretty special. And Jefferson this week, thoughts going here, and what's this? I mean, it's only Monday, but what's the vibe early on?
Yeah, they present a unique challenge. They're a triple option team, so if anyone's out there has watched Georgia Tech or Navy or Army and what they do, that's what Jefferson's trying to do. They've been struggling, and I think a lot of that is the option is can be a complicated offense to learn. I imagine that they'll reap the rewards of this in the next few years when they get better at, you know, their quarterback reading it and, you know, doing all the things that you have to do to be great at option football, which is why a lot of people don't commit to it, because it is an offense that really that you really have to rep well. But, you know, I can see what they're trying to do with their program, and I can appreciate it. And, you know, they're going to give us fits because you have to really be assignment sound when you're going up against the option.
My exact words was going to say that triple option causes teams fits. And we see what Army, Navy, and Georgia Tech does when they play some teams, and some teams have a hard time adapting to that. How you feel about these young men moving forward on Friday, just being able to, you know, capitalize on it?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we went in before this last week and said, hey, we want to turn this into a 3-game season. And, you know, our kind of mantra this week is, all right, we want to know. We got to go get the second game. And, you know, I did tell the kids today, I said, I can remember, you know, a couple previous spots. You get to this time of year, maybe the record's not great. You get in the car, you look outside, and it's sprinkling the rain, and you say, oh, boy, I don't really want to be down there today. And I honestly can tell you there hasn't been a single day here coming in and work with these kids that I felt that way. And I told them today, you know, hats off to you guys because, you know, that's not coaching. That's them being great kids. So, you know, Jefferson's coming in and, you know, they've been struggling, whatever. And, you know, perhaps for the first time all year, maybe people are looking at us as a favorite. as a favorite, but I don't expect anything different from our kids. They've been even keel all year, so I expect another great week of practice.
Excellent. I'm glad you touched base on that, because I know we talked after the first one of the year, and you said the next week, you thought maybe, I don't know if practice was, but I know when we did the following show, maybe even game prep or something, you said the kids were maybe a little, just not on cue. Are you going to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Obviously you want to, as a coach, you get paranoid about things anyway. But actually, I believe, I could be wrong, but I think that was Kyle Lundgren that said, yeah, it may sound crazy, but we were a little full of ourselves after that. Okay. And then we went in against Hubbard. And I really hadn't expected that because, as a coach, all you see a lot of time are the faults. But, yeah, like I told the kids, I said, we cannot – you either get better or you get worse each week. Doesn't matter who your opponent is. It's always a fight amongst yourself to get better. And, we want to, get these seniors out the right way. That's sort of the goal of the program at this point. These kids have been in the program, most all of them, for 4 years. And, we want them to be able to, for the rest of their lives, look back and say, hey, at the end of that, we turned that season around and had it head in the right direction.
Definitely. And if you guys can close out and win the rest of these games, you guys will finish 4-6. 2016, the team was 5-5. But previous to that, you're talking about a 1-9 record in 14, 3-7 in 15, 5-5, 16-2-8 last year. So, this is progress. Second highest win total, if you guys can pull it off, in quite a while. We've talked a lot, Coach. Can you believe we're this far into the season?
You hear it said. I know they say it on the news every year, the fastest 10 weeks of the year. And no, it doesn't. It doesn't seem like it's possible that it could be week 9. But if you want to find some people that will disagree with you, go talk to coaches' wives. I think they probably feel like this has been 40 weeks so far. It's obviously it's a strain on families and that with the time and dedication it takes to be down here. So I'll never forget when my wife was our daughter was born in October, and it was week 10, and I kind of was keeping it from her because I didn't know how I was going to go. But we qualified for the playoffs for the first time in school history at Matthews, and I had to break the news that we were going to go another week. So I wasn't sure if she was rooting for us, against us in the playoffs, but with the newborn at home, that was a tough one. So no new babies in our house, but we do have a coach on staff at the new one, so I'm sure his wife is ready to wrap up the season.
So he might be hoping the season advances a little bit. the Manny's hardest working sandwich in America, kind enough to give us some love, and as we can present the hardest working Red Dragon, and I'm sure you're going to agree, and I called him out because I knew he would deliver, and that's why I didn't offer him this earlier in the season, but a quarterback, Zach Leonard, fantastic game, and I thought, what a more deserving way to give him this gift card, especially with that win and the way he played, and obviously we all got to see him afterwards on TV. He holds himself in such high character, and I think that just kind of oozes that leadership. But what was it like seeing him? I'm sure you probably saw it, him talking to the television afterwards, and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little funny story on that in a second, but really proud of him. And, I in some ways I look at his performance Thursday night as a bit of a coming out party for him. We see him every day, and he impresses us as coaches, and Bo, you've been down here and been to enough game to see it. But, one of the nice things about that game, we ended up being on TV live, which is a pretty rare occurrence. And, we had the radio there, Air Force Game of the Week, and Zach, he's a competitor, and probably all that stuff going on probably juiced his game up even a little bit more. But at the end of the game, they put the headphones on. He'd never been through that experience. He said, Coach, he said, I put the headphones on. I couldn't hear anything until the last second. The announcers came on, and then I started to talk, and I could hear myself. And if you go back to the beginning of that video, you see the surprise on his face. And I'm sure you've been through that, Bo. When they do that, that's a really hard thing to get past when you're trying to speak and you're trying to think about what you're going to say. So, he had about a 3-second moment there where it looked like maybe he was in trouble. But then, a kid of his character and intelligence and that, I thought he did a tremendous job and gave all the credit to his teammates and so forth. So that's probably the first of many players years of the game for him, and I thought he handled himself great.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I knew another big game would come, and I thought it was, you know, he could have picked a better performance against a team that we'd probably want to beat out of all the teams that we face all year in that rival and the Highland Tigers. And again, shout out to all their kids, too. Like I said, these kids, everybody puts their puts the work in. For you, Coach, we got two more games left. Let's kind of get these kids fired up. There's two more gift cards to give out. So we got to get these kids juiced up to fight for these last two. Who do you think's in the running? Who do you think are some of the kids that you could think might take a shot at this thing?
Well,
because we're real quick, Mike Gallo said that the final gift card is worth $1,000. No, I'm joking. It's a joke.
No, that would be one.
We would all be trying to play.
Exactly. You know, I think one of the things that's kind of, we've seen the trend here, Bo. Now, obviously, Zach might be the exceptionist, but for the most part, some of these have kind of come out of the woodwork a little bit. They kind of surprised us in a very, very obviously pleasant way. So I guess what I'm hoping is, you know, maybe some guy I can't even think of right now. Maybe someone's going to come out of the woodwork and, you know, pop into there and steal those sandwiches away from some of the heavy favorites. I don't think we've had a repeat yet. I could be wrong on that.
No, we have not had a repeat.
So, and maybe that's the next thing. Maybe somebody gets their second sandwich. This really, and I do have to thank Mr. Gallo for this. It's kind of, again, just something I don't think every place kids get to have an opportunity to do this. So the fact that we're able to get these gift cards out to our kids is really cool.
It is. It's fun. It's fun having the kids, you know, come in and learn a little bit about what they bring to the program, and you share what's going on with the program. And again, a big shout out to Mike Gallo and Permanis to kind of offer these kids a little bit more incentive to do their best and try to earn that gift card so they can go out and get a nice lunch. And it was going to be $10, and he even jumped it up to $15 because he said, you know what, you can bring a friend, so he didn't want to, you know, leave anybody out. Before we wrap things up, Coach, and we talked about these Permanis gift cards and this program, when you reflect back, is there anything so far that you missed? Like, is there a point in the season, like, next year I'm definitely doing this, I should have done this day one?
I don't think we have a program long enough to address all those things, Bo. A ton. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't constantly thinking internally of what I can do better, what our coaches can do better. You know, it's never an exact science, but you always want to be turning over a leaf to find out that little edge that can push you going forward. You know, one thing that's different, and, you know, you kind of forget about it. It's been a while since I've been taking over a program, but you don't think that transition is really a hindrance. You know, you think, oh, we'll be okay. But looking back on it now, as I see, you start to be a little bit retrospective in some of the things, we really had just a change from the way they went no huddle, the way we called our plays, you know, everything was just different. It's not to say our way is better, just different. And that learning curve is a little bit steeper than I think that we thought going in. And, you know, hopefully next year, you know, going into summer where we have that familiarity with everybody, with, you know, we'll obviously tweak our system on offense and defense. But I really do think that we'll be off to maybe a little bit faster start next year when we can hit the ground running. So, you know, that's just something I put in my memory. Like, you know, maybe we tried to bite off a little bit more than we chew, or maybe there were some things we could have done to ease into that. But that's just a small part of it. There's a lot of things that we're going to change up or just try to enhance on. And then I guess one of the other big things is sometimes I think you find yourself practicing things that really aren't important. And I think we have to trim the fat down there and really dial in. We know who we are now and what we think we can be, and really try to focus on, you know, being repetitive in the things that we're actually going to do on a Friday night.
Fantastic response, Coach Perry. Appreciate it. And for all the gift card winners, you remember this. Teammate Joe Gallo carries those things around. So find Aaron Klein, Kyle, David Mays, Trent, Zach. Look for Joe Gallo, and he will give you that gift card. As always, we appreciate you listening to the 2018 Coach Perry Podcast, powered by Charles Auto Family, located in Garrettsville, Ohio. If you miss any of these shows in their entirety, you know they're free and available at iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and we'll be blasting those on social media. Again, this week at home, we're at home versus Jefferson. Coach, best of luck to you and the team.
All right, hey, and I know a lot of it's dependent on weather nowadays, but two big things are going to happen on Friday night. Actually, let's go with three. Number one is homecoming, so we'd like to see all our Dragon alumni coming back for the homecoming game. Number two, it's our seniors' last time to be out here at Bo Ryan Stadium, running out of the tunnel for the last time, and I think every former Dragon knows what that feeling's like. And then number three, we got Scripps Niles. So I know that's a big one for everyone in the community, and it should be a great night, and hopefully we play well.
That's it, exactly, and that'll make the night that much sweeter. As always, the Coach Perry Podcast. Thanks, Coach.
Flow that got the block hot, shit got super hot.
Welcome back to the 2018 Red Dragons Player Spotlight featuring Aaron Klein, number 50. Aaron, welcome to the program. Coach Perry has been talking highly of you the last couple weeks. He's been one of those guys that said as the season progressed, your game has progressed. And I think the last couple weeks, I don't know how it worked this week, but I think he said you graded out as one of the best players on the team. So what clicked for you from the, I guess, from summertime till, as you know, mid-season form, and now you're peaking?
Well, you know, off season, you know, all the hard work and everything, all adds up to it. But you know, it's, you know, the aggressiveness. You got to, like, just, you know, the coaches always say flip the switch and just play the game.
Nice. And then you flipped the switch, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, been playing Pop Warner Pee Wee. I mean, growing up.
No, I didn't start playing until seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other sports growing up?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
So seventh grade, what rolls around? I mean, what kind of gives you the itch to put the helmet and pads on?
I've been begging my parents to play tackle football. Since I was little, but, you know, they wouldn't let me. They let me play flag football, and that's all. So they said you have to wait till middle school, and then you're able to play. So that's what I did.
How do they feel about you going out there now?
Oh, my mom's always nervous, but my dad, you know, he's always excited about it. So, but, you know, they both support me. So
nice, nice. And that's kind of going through the positional thing. Sometimes you guys change positions along the way. I mean, where you started to where you're in out, the same positions, or have you kind of flip-flopped different spaces?
I'm basically in the same spot I was. You know, I started on the offensive line, but now I'm more focusing on the defense line, but I still play there a little bit too.
Nice. And what's it like being able to come off that edge and kind of chase these guys?
Oh, well, it's fun sometimes when you go against the bigger guys that aren't as fast. You know, you can use the speed against them. You know, but, you know, they're so big, so you got to use that.
Nice, nice. And this past week, I was excited. I mean, obviously I'm cheering for you guys, but, you know, hearing that there's some rumblings before the game about you gentlemen, I just wanted this one, and I guess in a hateful way, Aaron. I just wanted this one for all the wrong reasons, but you guys were able to pull it out. How wonderful was it to go on the road and kind of take down, you know, your rival 28-6 in Howland?
Oh, it was nice. It's been a while since we beat Howland, and it's something I've always, you know, dreamed about as a kid, always going to the Howland games as a little one, and you know, going to their place and doing it made it even more special too. So it was just nice.
Nice. And you guys, a couple more games, you guys can finish 4-6 if you close this thing out. What's the vibe of the team right now?
Just get out there, give effort, be aggressive, and get these two wins, and let the seniors go on a positive note.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of been the echoed from all the guys, kind of send these seniors out in the right way. And now you guys are taking that first step again with season number two, or win number two of the season last week, 28-6 over Highland. You guys come back this week in Niles against Jefferson. Coach Perry, you're probably happy I finally got one of those things right. I'm on opposite ends of the spectrum each time. I'm sending people to Struthers, sending them to Poland. I'm sending them all over the place. For you, we've talked about this plenty in all the podcasts we've done so far. You know, what's the difference in this team maybe compared to, you know, the others and, you know, the coaching staff and just the team itself? I mean, what are you seeing that might be different from a couple years past?
I just see better, you know, there's better connection between the players and everything on the field and off the field. You know, we just act as a family, which just makes us play better on the field also. So it's nice.
Nice. And there's been some things. I mean, I know they've been bringing the alumni in before games. You guys did the boot camp over the summer. I mean, reflecting back, what are some of the highlights of the season so far for you? The things they just kind of, you know, gravitize to.
Well, there's always, you know, before the game in the tunnel, that's one thing I always, you know, the tunnel prayer, that's one thing I always remember. Back at boot camp, something happened there, you know, I can't talk about it, but that was one of the highlights there. And, you know, always, you know, the team before practice, Dragon Jacks, always love doing those too. So that's just a highlight that I like, but with all the little things, but, you know, they all add up.
Nice. Once again, Aaron Klein, number 50, kind enough to join us here on the Red Dragon Player Spotlight as we feature Red Dragon players throughout the season. Aaron, for you, coming off that edge, I always kind of like to say, defensive ends are kind of like sack artists compared to dunk artists. You know, you got your windmill, your reverse windmill, your tomahawk. I mean, if you want to get to the quarterback, what's your favorite way? And do you practice any moves?
Oh, yeah, they practice on the swim move a lot of times, which is not one I really like. I'm not really tall enough to get over them sometimes, so most of the time I just like ripping through them. And then when I get there,
Dip and rip?
Yeah, it's the best thing to use in my opinion. But, yeah, when I get there, I just hit the quarterback, so try to get the ball out of there.
Do you ever play around at practice or maybe in the free time with high-made spin moves or any other sneaky ways to get to these guys?
Not really, because I feel like it's not a – effective way of doing it. But, if I feel like it's useful at the time, yeah, I'm going to do it, so.
I might get you in trouble, huh? This Saturday, you're going to do the spin move, and then he's going to go, what is he doing?
Unless I get there, yeah.
Yeah, if you get there, he'll praise me. If not, he'll pull me aside next week and be like, listen, don't tell these kids to do any trick moves, trick plays. But excellent stuff. Before we wrap things up, we always like to go three and out, hit you with some off-the-wall stuff. Ready to take a shot with some of those?
Yeah.
All right, now. Now, last week, we were informed that there is an impersonator of Coach Perry. Would they do the impersonation of Coach Perry in front of him?
I'm sure if you found out who it was, you probably would, but I do not know who it is, but I'm sure there's somebody out there. I'm sure there is.
Is there a great impersonator of one of the coaches on the staff? But player-wise. Or, why don't we flip the switch? Is there a coach that does a good impersonation of a player?
Oh, I mean, they do it all the time. They do things all the time. It comes up. I'm sure everybody's probably been impersonated one time during practice for what they've done. But, yeah, I'm sure there's some out there, too.
Nice. For you, female celebrities, if Aaron Klein could take out any female celebrity for a quick bite to eat, who are you going to take to dinner?
Ariana Grande.
Nice. Yeah. Nice to get a different name. I do this so much, I get the same names all the time, so it's nice to get somebody a little different. And the final question before you go, I've been asking this one as well. You're going to win the game Friday night for the Niles McKinley Red Dragons. How are you going to go about doing it? And to play the hypothetical, the super play of the day, the play that you dream of about when you go to sleep, what are you going to do to win the game?
They go for a screen, I pick it off, and I take it to the house.
Now, barring a penalty flag, if you could do a dance, would you have a celebration? If you could,
I probably would. I'd probably spike the ball, and whatever comes to mind at the time. I'm not too good at dancing though, so I don't know if I would do that.
Excellent stuff, Aaron. Like Coach Perry said, man, you've been one of the young men that's really stepped up and helped this program to kind of achieve more. And I'm sure everybody's proud of you and appreciate you stopping by and joining us on the Red Dragons Player Spotlight.
Thank you.
Great job, my man.